Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hello, everyone. Lisa Resnick here at the Holmes & Hops podcast studio at my home, sitting with Steve Vesey.
VC. Yes. Well, that's not a good start.
Actually, that's pretty apropos because I think I screw up everybody's name been on here.
Par for the course.
There you go. No, why would you be any different? So Steve, as I'm sure most of you know, is one of the anchors of WFMJ, Channel 21.
Yep, morning anchor.
That's right. So I am with you. You don't even realize this. Every morning at 6 a.m., watching everything that you guys are doing. You guys are absolutely phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
And I actually do enjoy watching the local news. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have like definitely strayed away from national news because I do feel like the local news kind of just like tells it to you straight. This is what's happening. And it's actually news reporting.
Yeah. Well, that's the goal, right? I mean, we want to be straight down the middle. We don't want to be biased toward anything. So,
well, you'd think that. But then you have these other network stations that seem to be doing something a little bit different.
I have plenty of opinions on that, too.
I know, right? That would be a good news story. But I guess that would be a little bit too opinion-based, right?
A little bit, yeah.
So I have Steve on today, and I definitely wanted to hit Steve up with some questions. So Steve is a Valley native as well, went to Vienna. Yeah. So in my defense on that one, I lived in Virginia for 16 years.
Oh, and they have a Vienna, Virginia down
there. Vienna. Mm-hmm. It's all just meshing together now. But yeah, they say it differently there than they do here. Yeah. I have no idea why. Do you?
It's funny because growing up around here in the first market that I worked in New York, since Campbell is referred to as Camel here, I remember specifically driving to my job interview and we passed, it was about a half hour before I got to the city that I was interviewing in, and it says Campbell on the sign. And I'm like, I look at my wife. Well, she was my fiance at that point, but now my wife. And she, I wonder if they pronounced that weird. And they did, but not like ours.
Oh.
They pronounced it like it was two separate words. It was Campbell.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so really, we just like do whatever we want here in America.
Yeah.
You could just spell out anything. So in everybody's defense, who messes up names?
Yeah, totally.
It's totally understandable because there is no defined reason behind anything.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing that. I've been correct. Like my last name, everybody butchers.
Yep.
I grew up in Vienna, which everybody butchers. I went to Matthews High School, which everybody puts two T's. There's only one.
Oh.
So it's just funny.
There you go.
Been living it my whole life.
You're like, I'm used to it. So you just mentioned working in the New York market.
Mm-hmm.
What other markets did you work in before you came back here?
So I went to Ohio University in Athens, and I got a lot of on-air experience there. I worked at the PBS station down there, WOUB.
Oh, cool.
Before I even graduated. So it was one of those things that was volunteer, but also kind of necessary if you wanted to kind of, you know, have a leg up on the competition. So when I was still in college, I was anchoring the 6 p.m. news two nights a week and anchoring sports on the 6 p.m. two other nights a week.
Oh, wow.
I got a lot of reps, which was nice. Kind of get all the kinks out a little bit.
It is nice.
An extremely small area where not too many people are watching. So if you screw up, it's not a big deal.
gives you just a little bit more character.
Totally. So and then I went to a little city in the middle of New York State called Elmira, New York, in the Finger Lakes, if anybody's familiar.
Oh, it's beautiful there, isn't it?
It was... I still say that is one of the most beautiful areas I've been to, let alone lived in. I mean, the Finger Lakes, I lived near the middle finger, if anybody's counting. Seneca Lake was the closest one to us. But I mean, Cuca, and we went to several of them while we were there, and they were all Canandaigua. They were all beautiful and just so scenic. And then the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon was less than an hour, which nobody's ever heard of.
No,
it was less than an hour south of where I lived. So
okay,
it was really cool. And then the Corning, if you've ever heard of Corningware,
yes, I have.
Corning Glass is from there, and they have the Corning Museum of Glass, which was awesome. And Corning's a neat little tiny city too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And sports wise, there was a NASCAR race there. There was an IndyCar race. I used to be a sports guy, so that had broad appeal for me. There was some college basketball. Cornell went to the NCAA tournament a few times while I was there. That's in both basketball and hockey, which was cool.
So not to date you, about when was this?
I graduated OU in 2004. Okay. So I graduated from Matthews in 2000. So, okay. And I was in Elmira for 11 years. I worked at the NBC there for 11 and a half years. And then I'd had the itch for a while, and I had several other job offers that I turned down. I got a little more anchoring experience, but I wanted the right situation. We started having kids, and
yep.
We were 6.5 hours away from, my in-laws still live in Vienna, so my wife went to high school with me. She was a year older. Oh. So,
did you guys date in high school?
We did, yeah.
That's super cool.
Since we were 16, so.
Wow. It is. You guys have been together forever.
Yeah, for a long time now.
Yeah.
So, we wanted to get a little closer to home, and I desperately wanted to cover a big league team. It was fun covering, smaller college and even Division I basketball, but it still was Ivy League, so it was a little smaller time.
Yeah.
For the most part, although they went to the Sweet 16 one year, so that was cool. But I had the itch. I really wanted to do something on more of a national scale. So the opportunity came up at the CBS in Buffalo, and I got hired there originally as the weekend guy, but I knew pretty quickly, the sports director there, who's the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, great guy, was going to leave to work for the Bills solely. So
that's a great opportunity.
Oh, it was. So, and at the time, I was like 31 or something like that. So, or 30.
It's all a blur, isn't it?
It is. 29, somewhere in that range, right?
Just do what I do. Just stay at one age, and then it's okay. If you just mesh it all together. Yeah. Like, I was just 28.
Yeah. I think I said I was in Elmira for 11 years. I was there for 7 years. I don't know what I'm thinking. Everything is a blur.
Isn't it amazing, right?
So either way, it was super young to be covering an NFL team as a sports director, the main sports guy. So it was a cool opportunity. I got to travel all around the country, go into every single Buffalo Bills game. I was in the locker room all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. I got to make several national radio appearances on the Doug Gottlieb show, for anybody who's familiar, who was with CBS Sports at the time, and made an appearance on Thursday night. Was it Thursday Night Football on NFL Network?
Oh, wow.
So it was neat.
That's pretty cool.
There were a lot of doors that were open for me. It was pretty cool. At the same time, it was behind the scenes. It was a little tougher of a situation because they kept paring down our sports department.
Oh.
And we had to cover an NFL team and an NHL team and everything else that was going on. We had four Division I colleges in our viewing area. High school sports and everything. So,
I mean, Buffalo is kind of the equivalent of Youngstown State University, right?
University of Buffalo is a little bit bigger, but a bigger time because YSU is just a level down in football. So, and UB is a MAC school. So, University of Buffalo went to the NCAA tournament. Bobby Hurley was there coaching men's basketball for a couple of years while I was there. So they were a lot of fun to cover, but our staff kept shrinking. When I got there, it seemed like they took one person away every 2 years or every year and a half.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Man, it was difficult. And then, so I all of a sudden found myself working crazy amounts of hours, and my kids were starting to get into school, and then it just so happened. They were cutting back, and I was one of the people who got axed when they looked at everybody's price tag and decided who was making too much money.
That's usually how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So I was far from alone, unfortunately, but one of my good friends who was the longtime chief meteorologist, beloved figure in that city, he ended up getting let go as well. And the staff just turned over tremendously, which was terrible. And at the time I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, what the heck am I going to do? I wasn't planning on getting let go. Obviously I really loved Buffalo, not so much in the winter, but the other 7 months of the year.
It's great. It
was wonderful. I mean, there was a lot to do. There was a lot of activities and events and everything was outdoors. And
you're right by the falls.
Yep. Oh, we went up to Niagara Falls 5, 6, 7 times a year.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never been to Niagara Falls in the winter, I know it sounds weird. Go.
it's probably less expensive on your side than it is on the Canadian side.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. But in the winter, it's... Have you ever been in the winter?
I have not.
Oh my God. It's... My kids loved it too because
okay.
there's like a... So the mist
I
from the
like
falls...
I feel like it would be even colder there.
Oh, it's super cold. You have okay. to layer up, but it's crazy beautiful.
But it's worth it.
Well, it's so quiet there.
Oh, that's nice.
And there's no tourists. And the mist from the falls goes onto all the trees and all the snow and creates a thin layer of ice on everything. So
oh, that would be really pretty.
It almost like sparkles. And if you go, I don't know if they still do this. I assume they do. On weekends in December, and then I think every week between Christmas and New Year's, they have fireworks over the falls at night, and the falls are illuminated themselves. There's lights
yes.
behind them.
Yes.
And that are shined on them onto them, and it is just
that would be gorgeous.
Such an amazing experience. Like the sound, if you're used to going in the summertime when everything's roaring and it's loud. Part of the falls freezes over because it's always cold up there.
Yes.
But the layer of ice on everything, all the trees kind of droop down. They look like weeping willows, only they're glistening.
That would be really pretty.
It was neat. So we loved it. We went up there quite a bit.
Who knows? We might be all home this winter, so...
And looking for something like that to do, right? I couldn't believe... My wife and I talk about it all the time. We grew up like 3 hours away from Niagara Falls, and we
yes.
went like once each growing up.
Same
and it's
thing.
So amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. And I, like I said before, I do think that the U.S. side is less expensive than mm-hmm. the Canadian
oh,
side.
Yeah.
I don't know why when we did go, we chose the Canadian side. Because
mm-hmm.
we did that too as a family. Like when, I don't know if when we first moved here. So Steve, you moved back here in 2015.
Yes.
So we moved back here in 2016.
Okay.
So you got us beat by a year, but, and I can't remember if it was right before we moved back or when we moved back that we went up to the Canadian side
mm-hmm.
and it was one of those things as adults, as many things, you realize the expensive things that you enjoyed as a child and you're like, holy cow, I didn't realize how expensive all mm-hmm. this was. I mean, the Canadian side and which I'm not saying don't go because it was fun
yeah.
and it was worth it. But it is that tourist trap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy cow, you can't like walk down, you can't hike anywhere without having to pay for that hike,
totally.
Which was amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but there's a lot on the U.S. side. There's
yeah,
just
try
so,
the U.S. side for sure.
Like Three Sisters Island is amazing. It's a little further down. It's away from the falls, but you see
okay.
the rapids and everything. But if you like hiking, it's a really cool place. I swear, we would go up so often that we would just try and hit a different part of the park every time. So
oh, that's pretty cool. I like that. That's really neat. And
it's
like you said, it's not that far away that we'd be
oh.
able to go there for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe look for a weekend home
mm-hmm.
right there. That would be pretty cool too.
No, we loved it.
That's pretty neat. So how did you end up moving back? Was it like you wanted to move back, actively were looking, or like it popped up and you're like, hey, then it sparked the thought in your mind.
It was like so much, I feel like so much in life is just a matter of the circumstances you're in at the time.
100%.
And not that because we love it here, obviously. But
yes.
I don't think my wife and I ever even considered the idea of moving back.
Because,
you know, like growing up around here, I don't know, me and all my friends and like the whole idea was you grow up. So you can get a job and move away.
Yes.
And I don't. And that's not trying to badmouth it because obviously I came back.
Is that same thing?
So I. But that was just sort of the goal. Like the whole idea was that if you wanted an opportunity in anything, you need to leave to get it.
That is true.
So we. I don't think we had ever even considered the idea of moving back. But you know, I found myself all of a sudden without a job. I was living off of severance pay, and
yep.
my wife was a stay-at-home mom at the time, so my income was the only income.
Yeah.
And
how many kids at this time?
We had all four at that point.
Oh, wow.
So, it was, I don't know. I was looking around, and at first I was looking mostly at sports jobs, but I had talked for a long time, because when you're doing sports, it's like being the evening anchor. It's you're working at best case scenario 3 to midnight every night, and that was when I first got out of college. My friends would call me at like 7 o'clock at night when they were done with work and stuff, or like try and FaceTime or something.
Oh, and you couldn't.
It was. I'm like, I'm working. I literally just got off the 6 o'clock show and I'm going
yeah.
to a high school basketball game.
I was about to say, because you actually go to the games
yeah.
too.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, I got to a point where I was missing dinner most of the time. I lived very close to where University of Buffalo was in Buffalo. But so if I went to cover a UB basketball game that night,
yep.
I could stick around there for a half hour or so and then sneak back home before my kids went to bed and be able to eat dinner with them at least quickly.
Yep.
But that it was just always so rushed. It was always I was never there for evening stories as the kids were going down to bed and everything.
Yeah.
And it was and I felt like I was missing a ton. So I had talked with my wife quite a bit about it. I'm like, I don't think I can possibly I loved what I did, but because of the I mean, I was looking at, and my wife and I were both athletes growing up, and so the odds were pretty good that our kids were at least going to be somewhat athletic.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't want to get to a point where I'm missing every my daughter plays seventh grade volleyball.
Yep.
And she plays at 5 o'clock for all of her games, and I would literally miss every single one because
yes,
I'd have
would.
To be there at 6 o'clock live in studio on the news. So I didn't want to have to make that choice. I didn't. And so people say I'm nuts for waking up at 3:15 in the morning. And I somewhat agree with that.
Wait a sec. You wake up at 3:15 in the morning?
Every day. Well, 5 days a week.
So 5 days a week, 3:15 in the morning. What time do you have to be at the studio?
I have to be there at 4:30.
At 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, and then the first, because I'm not up. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm
no,
still sleeping.
No, that's no worries.
I am sometimes up at 5:30, and I know you guys are on air at that point.
At 5, yeah.
So it starts at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, so it's like 30 minutes prep and go. Make
yeah,
sure all systems are rolling.
I show up, I read through as much stuff as I possibly can, usually not all of it because it's just not feasible.
Well, you have commercial breaks.
We do, and those come in handy. So I read through everything I can, and then I still have to put my makeup on, which for me, I have down to like the craziest quick science
nice.
Ever. I have a little Mac compact, and I just like blitz for 2 minutes
yep.
all over my face, make sure it's kind of even.
And you're like, I'm done.
Go. So that's basically how it goes.
That's how I am daily, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like blitz for like 2 minutes, and then I'm like, go.
I was joking with one of our producers the other day. I'm like, I should do one of those YouTube makeup tutorials, but just for me.
That was me. Phenomenal.
Because it has to look so aggressive compared to everyone. Because everyone else is like taking their time. Even Krista, who's sitting next
yes.
to me. Like doing like the, I saw her this morning doing like the little like lipstick pencil
oh, yeah.
stuff or whatever. I don't have to do any of that stuff.
No.
I have this little thing that I open up and has a tiny little mirror on and I smear stuff and I just go, ah!
And then like, voila.
Yeah, exactly. Like, boom. Because there's only so much I'm going to do with this. So it is what it is.
So what time do you go to bed if you have to be there at 3:15?
Never.
Are you up right now past your bedtime?
No. I mean, theoretically, if I wanted to get a full night's sleep, I'd have to be in bed by 7 that night.
Oh, yeah.
God, that never happens. I shoot for 8. Lately, it's been more like 8:30 or 9. So it just depends. Basketball season, I coach basketball for a couple of my kids.
Oh, wow.
And, well, under normal circumstances, I don't know what's going to happen this year. But
that's true.
I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've practiced until 8:30.
Yeah.
And
it's like, hard to just go home and crash.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you need that moment of just vegging
yeah.
before you put your
totally.
Head on the pillow.
Well, that was my problem when I worked till midnight, too. I had to be high-energy sports guy at 11:35 every night. So I had copious amounts of coffee usually at
yeah.
like 8 o'clock at night. And I get home at 12:30 usually. And it's not like I can go right to sleep.
No.
So I usually was in bed around 2. So I always joke I used to go to bed at 2 and now I wake up at 3. So
this specific job slot for the morning anchor
yep.
is what you saw? Is this when you were in Buffalo, you saw this pop up,
yep.
WFMJ, local, and you've like then had the conversation?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I had talked to Dana Balish.
Okay.
And because I was a sports guy and he had mentioned the opening. And so I called and I talked to Derek Steyer, who had the position at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of a perfect storm. Bob Black was planning his retirement and they wanted to kind of groom Derek and have him be more visible in the evening every night. So
okay.
That created the opportunity at the exact right time that I was looking. I kind of looked at my wife. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have more experience than anybody else who's going to apply because, I mean,
this is
a smaller market.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, man, we've been looking at getting closer to home. This is home. So
yeah.
How neat would that be? And it's like I said, it's not something we never ever considered, but timing is everything.
It really is.
It just seemed like it was meant to be. I had my job interview and everything, and I felt fairly comfortable that I was going to be the front runner, and it was just like the right fit at the perfect time. And it was, and I was working weekends at first, which I had sworn that I would never do, but
yep.
Again, but it was fun, and I loved our show and my co-anchor, and it was so much fun, and it gave me a chance to get outside of the box that I had unintentionally put myself in with doing sports for all that time. I hadn't anchored news since I was in college in 2004 when I came here. So it had been more than a decade by the time I got back to doing it. So
besides the fact of being away for a decade and then coming back, I'm sure you, like me, had your visits back home for holidays and everything like that to be with your family. What's it like seeing the difference? Because it's a mass amount of difference.
Oh, yeah. Especially, I mean, growing up in Trumbull County.
Yeah.
I used to joke that like 90% of the people I went to school with had a parent at either Packard or GM, or since we lived in Vienna, the airbase. There were a decent amount of parents that worked there too. So, and now, I mean, and the airbase is the only one left. And it's just so wild to me because, and honestly, I felt like it was more Packard than GM even at that point as I was growing up, because there were so many. It just was, it was always there. They were always there. That's where people worked. And
yes.
I think that that's by far the biggest. And obviously GM has been a much more recent development. But I think that's by far the biggest change, is that the jobs that everyone had
just don't
exist now.
You always knew somebody work at that Packard or GM, whether it's Mahoning or Trumbull County. I mean, the service area for them, their pool of employees was expansive over, I mean, it was the Tri-County area. Mm-hmm. It's like the Valley is called the Valley for a reason. It's because it's the same economic network that's going on. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing to me because it was something that was just an automatic, which shows that you can never just rely on one source of income when it comes to your economy and making sure that's more diversified. But and so when you first showed up and you just started newsing, reporting the news out there, what was it like when you were, because it was like you just came back and like you're reporting the news for our area. Was it like a day-to-day, like, eye-opening revelation, everything of what's happening, whether good or bad, like seeing everything? What was it like for you to come back?
It was almost alien to me. It was, and that probably sounds odd, but keep in mind, I wasn't back much. I really wasn't. I mean, like you mentioned, holidays. It was pretty much it. In the summertime, my in-laws had a cottage up on Lake Erie, and that's, so we wouldn't even come back here. If we came back in the summer, we came up there.
Yep. So, which that area's had quite a bit of change as well.
Absolutely. But and then before we went on, I was telling you about growing up in Trumbull County. I didn't really come to Youngstown a ton. So one of the funny parts that I always joke around about is that I always thought the Southern Park Mall was the nice mall. And when I was a kid, and the Eastwood Mall was kind of like the second. And then all of a sudden, the script totally flipped. And the Eastwood Mall, it was like the really nice mall. And the Southern Park Mall was just kind of the one that everyone forgot about.
And now they're just battling it out.
Exactly. And now I feel like it's just going to be on for the next decade, seeing who can top who, which is kind of fun.
It's a benefit for all of us.
Yeah.
So you guys go at it, because then it's we get to experience everything that you're bringing to the area. Mm-hmm. So by all means, there is sometimes good competition and that's one of them.
Yeah, but when I first came back, it was almost funny because everybody just assumed that I knew everything about here. But as we talked about, I mean, so much had changed in just the matter of a decade, 15 years.
I really don't think that people that have been here this entire duration while we've been away realize how much has changed here.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, I mean, I know people grasp the job loss, GM, Packard, but I don't know if they realize like Columbiana.
Columbiana, just the explosion.
I know. It's just amazing. Downtown Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had, and I now I sound like an old person being like, I remember when I was a kid.
Back in my day.
Exactly. Exactly. But back in my day, there wasn't really anywhere to go but no. Pogo's, Ernie McDougal's, Amy Campus 2000.
JJ's.
Yes. Which they did have great wing specials. But like all those places like are no longer.
Oh my God. Ernie McDougal's. I haven't heard that in so long. This is so funny.
Now like people can go to Imbibe. The Rise Bar. There's, mm-hmm. I mean, they want to go all fancy. They can go Bistro. Yeah. Or now there's Prima. Like, Whistle and Cake. There's so many different things for everyone to do downtown that is, like, literally right there. And that's just food and beverage. But, like, there's also, of course, our staples that we've always had. But it's just amazing to me the differences that it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. There's reasons to come downtown now, which is cool. So
it's pretty neat.
But I always joke around that I...
Warren, too.
Yes. But I used to play sports against like Lowville and Springfield and South Range. But I would have been throwing a dart on a map to figure out where the heck those places were.
Yes.
And now, but now I'm obviously very aware. But so when I move back, everyone's like, oh, yeah, this is in Springfield. I'm like, I don't really know where that is.
You're like, so Springfield, like in the Simpsons Springfield? Yeah. Like, what are you talking
like,
about?
Like, I know of it, but if you told me, like, I had to MapQuest or MapQuest, that's showing my age.
That is.
So you printed
out the directions.
I used to. but put it in my GPS just to figure out where the heck I was going. If it wasn't in, especially Trumbull County, if it wasn't in Trumbull County, I probably didn't know exactly how to get there. So it was almost, it was so funny. I remember driving to my job interview here and passing like Gypsy Lane. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't heard Gypsy Lane or Midlothian or Meridian or anything in 15 years.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's, you know, part of my life again. So it was funny.
Was it pretty surreal?
I felt like I had an out-of-body experience all the time. And one of the coolest parts was, especially that first year here, all the people who kind of came out of the woodwork that knew me as a kid, which was obviously something I didn't experience in either of my other two markets, which was such a fulfilling kind of experience.
Yeah.
I had multiple teachers that I grew up with that reached out to me to talk about how proud they were of me.
Oh, wow.
My mom unfortunately passed away when I was in high school, but she had a really tight-knit group of friends, and they all... to a person, like, reached out when they saw me on air for the first time. And, you know, school employees or people who knew me through sports. I've had multiple people that I played basketball against in high school that saw me on air. And they're like, oh, my God, I know that guy.
That's
from
pretty
a long
cool.
time ago, which was cool. So it was, and then, you know, classmates, a couple of my classmates still live around here that I've, a couple of them I've interviewed on air, which has been a neat sort of thing. So
how many people were in your graduating class? I have to ask.
Oh gosh. They didn't all graduate. So, I think we graduated 97, I want to say.
I think that's about the same as me. I went to Mooney.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we had a pretty small.
Yeah, we were small. So yeah. It is what it is. And Matthews is
way
smaller now.
So. And right now, small in classrooms is the way to go, right?
That's the winning combination, right?
So is Poland back in school? Or are they doing? Are they doing straight back in school, or is it a
virtual? Yeah, I mean, you have the option to go virtual if you'd like.
Okay.
But the majority of the kids, I think it was maybe like around 30%, don't quote me on that, decided to go virtual. So, the majority of kids are back in school. My kids are back in the classroom. So
yeah, me too. I was like, go.
I know.
It's like, so it's the greatest thing, dropping them off at school in the morning at 7:15. We're like, guys, bye.
See ya. Good luck.
See you later. Don't come home. A few of my friends were like, if they don't, we're still dropping our kids off at the bench. We'll pick them up at the end of school.
Just hang out.
I know. We love our children dearly.
Oh, yeah.
So what are some of the exciting things? You've mentioned a few of them, exciting things that you are, from what's happening now, foreseeing. What are you seeing exciting happening in our area that you know is going to benefit us down the road?
Well, I think...
And not far down the road.
Yeah, I think the two that jump out at me the most are everything that's going on between YBI and America Makes and NYSU with 3D printing, additive manufacturing, and everything like that. I think that jumps off the page right away because it's something that simply wasn't here when I was
That's
growing
right.
up. So and some of the connections that they've made. And I've been a part of the team that we've developed literally a biweekly segment on our show about it.
Because I believe my husband's been on it a couple of times.
He has indeed, yes. but it's, I think it's something where, well, I know it is because I was part of the conversation. So we were kicking around ideas because we had lost a weekly segment at some point. And so we were trying to think of, you know, what can we do to replace it that is going to have a broad appeal to our audience? Because literally, that's the basis of every conversation. For every segment that you see on our show, we've already had conversations about, okay, is this going to matter to somebody? Is this just about this one community? We wanted something that is going to be interesting and worthwhile for everybody. And we just kind of came up in our conversation. I'm like, you know what? I feel like, not putting a blame on anybody, because there's a lot always that's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel like the technology sector in our area is vastly underreported.
I agree.
I just felt like we could shine such a bigger spotlight on it. I'm like, and it doesn't always have to be big stories. It doesn't have to be these crazy grants or partnerships that America makes is getting, although those are cool.
They are.
But there's so many small companies. Like one that jumps out is one at the newest building for YBI, FitzFrames, who just uses 3D printing.
No joke. That's exactly what went into my mind.
Right. But how cool is that?
Cool. You can download the app.
And you scan your face.
Yep.
And then a couple weeks later, you have a pair of super lightweight 3D printed glasses.
Yes.
That are to your prescription.
That are very difficult for anyone to destroy.
And for parents of small kids.
It's perfect.
That is just, or heck, my wife breaks sunglasses constantly. She puts them in like her purse and they snap, or like a thing comes off and then she has to go buy another one. So, but it's like stuff like that. It's so cool what some of these companies are doing. I'm the one that we're featuring. I was just talking to the guy who runs the company today. One that will be on our show next week is a company called Juggerbot 3D.
Yes.
And they had a direct relationship in 3D printing stuff that people used at the Tour de France.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was, like, who would ever think that a company from here, run by somebody who grew up in the Valley, by the way, is even involved in something that is on such a national scale? You would never think that, right?
No, you wouldn't.
And that's why I've been so fond of the segment. I think that there's constantly such neat things. Like, who would ever thought that the NFL would come to Youngstown to design their next-level helmet?
That was just awesome.
That was really the jumping-off point for us with the segment. Like, there is some really cool stuff that nobody's talking about. We can talk about it.
Oh, 100%. And we should talk about it. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, because you talk about Packard, you talk about GM, and a lot of people think, well, the employee base.
Yeah.
So obviously American makes, YBI, everything. It's a different dynamic of their employee base. However, their significance is just as important because that little niche that we have happening here in Youngstown is what can attract other people to then have more employees. And I mean, that's just how it works in real estate. So it's just that drive is what you want. And that's why they're super important for our area.
Oh, yeah. So I point to that. And then everything that's happening now in Lordstown, everybody thought that.
Oh, yeah. How cool
you know,
is that?
When GM went, you're left, everyone, oh, woe is me.
I know.
And kudos to Arno Hill. I love Arno to death. But him and, you know, the chamber and the Port Authority and everybody who's come together to help push some of these projects forward. There's some, if you want to talk about jobs and all the jobs that have left Lordstown, well, hey, and they're not all here yet. In fact, the majority of them are not here yet. But I mean, between the two power plants and the TJX factory, the battery plant, and hopefully the truck takes off as a commercial vehicle. And
so we also have to buy the truck.
Yeah.
So it's not, so we need to also support them.
Yep.
as part of our community. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll be reasonably priced, but we as a community need to buy the trucks
yep.
that are being created in our area and show that support as well. And
especially those any companies that have fleet vehicles.
That's right.
That's what it's being made for. So, but I look at that and it's exciting to see something new and different. And it's not a leap to think, hey, this could be a big deal in the not too distant future.
Oh, yeah. So. And which we're talking about, what was it? It was just last year that GM cut their final shift.
Mm-hmm.
So we are literally talking about a large amount of progression made with Lordstown, right? And it's not even, has it been a full year? Maybe a year and a half now?
Yeah, about a year and a half, yeah.
So, I mean, that's quick.
Yeah,
I
don't it's super quick.
I don't think people, like, this stuff takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, commercial stuff takes a lot of time, due diligence, feasibility, everything.
You throw a pandemic in there.
That doesn't really help out.
Then that slows the timeline down even more. So the fact that even some of this stuff is still progressing, still pushing forward, and some of it has been announced during this pandemic when so many companies were hurting, I mean, that's, you can't see much more of a positive sign than that. And I know there's going to be the haters out there that, you know, that talk about, you know, okay, well, are they going to get paid as much as GM employees did?
I know.
Or the benefits going to be the same? But I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is job creation.
Exactly.
And if you don't create these jobs simply don't exist. And would you rather have a job that pays a little bit lower for on average, or would you rather have no job at all and have all those people move and then these school districts lose funding,
Everything.
Lose enrollment, and we probably lose some of those school districts and because the population base isn't there. And then all of a sudden you're looking at saying, oh, man, because you know what would happen if they weren't here. People would be like, oh, there's no jobs.
Yeah. And then people move away.
Yes.
So let's give reasons for people to stay.
Totally.
Right. And show them the opportunities.
So it's been from my seat as a news anchor and everything and being able to report on some of the stuff. I think that's how I view it. And I get it. People are like, oh, he can't have an opinion or anything. I mean, it's not political or anything. Like,
you're fine.
How can you not see that it is something that's positive? I mean, there's people that are affecting change that are doing something.
One thing I have learned is and I understand where people are coming from here that seem to be a bit more negative, or like how I like to call them, curmudgeons.
Yeah.
That just won't, I mean, if you throw one positive thing at them, they're going to throw five negatives at you.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, I am totally fine with having a good discussion because, I mean, there's a benefit to those people because if they give you those negatives, hopefully you can figure out a solution or a way to turn it around. And maybe open your eyes a little bit more to things that you weren't thinking of before.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would like to see of those people that throw the negatives is to throw the solutions as well. It's like, it's just one of those things. That's just my personal, don't just complain about something.
Yeah.
Fix it.
Yeah. Because what is a complaint if you don't have a means to a solution? I hate it. And
I know.
I'm prone
That's one
to
of my pet it. Peeves.
Same here. And I'm prone to doing it sometimes, but I will try and give a qualifying statement. I'll say, okay, this is what's wrong. And I'll be honest, I don't have a solution right now, but we need to find one.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I hate. Like, people are just sitting there and they're being the armchair quarterback or whatever and saying, oh, well, they should have done this. Yeah. Okay. Well,
but they didn't.
Exactly.
So this is where we are. So now where do we go from now?
Right.
So that's really where it comes
down. Yes. You can complain about it or you could have a meaningful conversation or, you know, go and, you know, if you want to change something, if you don't think things are done, then run for local office or something or try to or volunteer or
do something.
Yes. So I'm all on board with that for sure.
So what do you think about the whole local craft beer scene that we have going on here?
Well, I warned you before we came on that I am not an IPA fan. So I feel like that deletes me from part of the craft beer conversation.
But you like sours.
I don't like sours. No.
So I didn't like sours either.
Mm-hmm.
So Ira
at
Noble
at
Creature.
Noble Creature, yeah.
Yep. So he actually, Ira and Ryan said three sips. Because your palate needs to become acclimated to the sour flavor before you can actually enjoy the beer. And I was not a sour fan before, but now am. I mean, I do like my IPAs and lagers and I do like the hoppy flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like more the hoppy flavor has the higher ABV,
mm-hmm.
in which I stay lower ABV because otherwise it's like two sips and all of a sudden I'm someplace else.
I don't like the hoppy flavor. I don't. I never have. I've tried it. Gosh, feels like a million times now.
It's okay.
But you're
drinking right now. What are you drinking?
So this is from Modern Methods. This is called the Percolator, and I love it. It is a lager infused with El Salvadorian coffee beans.
There you go. Adam, did you hear that? He loves it.
I really love it too. And I've had some like coffee infused stouts and stuff before that I've not been a huge fan of, but these I'm a big fan of this.
That's pretty cool.
But you mentioned Ira and Noble Creature. I mean, he's known for sours, obviously.
Yep.
And I've tried a couple of them and it's not super in my wheelhouse, but that's not a big deal to me. But I had his Oktoberfest. I don't remember what it was called, either last year or the year before, and it is the most phenomenal thing I've ever had.
Don't you love all their names?
Yeah. Well, I can like never remember them, though.
Percolator. I'm drinking Noble Creatures Overcast.
The only one I can remember from Noble Creatures, Thin Lips, because it seemed like such an apt description.
And which is interesting because their Thin Lips, mm-hmm. actually is a different fruity flavor. It's okay. Not always the same. So right now their Thin Lips is peach.
Okay.
At least it was last weekend when I was there, and unless it's tapped, I'm not sure. But mm-hmm. I'm a huge peach
mm-hmm.
fan, and actually I like peach beer,
mm-hmm.
and the sour beer as well was delicious. So, mm-hmm. but I again am a bit more of a sour fan than mm-hmm. you. So
there's
okay
nothing wrong with
it.
That. I mean, but that's one of the cool things is that at every single one, and I've been to a handful. I haven't been to all of them, but. Like Birdfish and Noble Creature and, you know, just, and I've been to Modern Methods, although it's been a while.
Yeah.
But what is the place sort of on the line? It's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, Crooked Tongue.
Crooked Tongue, which is a really cool place.
Yeah.
Each of them has its own vibe and it's a little different. And then each of them seems like they, and I've been to Numbers too down in Lisbon.
Yes.
But Numbers
has liquor. And wine in addition to their beer.
Which is a rarity, which is nice.
Which is nice for when you're hanging out with your friends mm-hmm. that don't drink beer.
Totally. But every single place that I've been to has had something that appeals to me. And every single place is different and unique. And like I said, they have their own vibe. But one of the coolest thing for me is the sense of collaboration mm-hmm. between all of them. It's almost, and that's another one of the really neat things that kind of opened my eyes when I moved back is the sort of entrepreneurial spirit around here is...
Oh my God, it's huge.
It is massive. And I don't ever remember that
no.
when I was growing up. And obviously I was a different age, so maybe I'm not looking for it, but...
Part of me wonders, is it because we were so young before we left?
Yeah, I know. I have the same
but
back
then
and
again,
forth in my head.
But then again, I look at what was around us when we were young
yeah.
versus what's around us now.
There's a lot of chains... In terms of restaurant, now we have a lot more mom and
yes.
pop places, I feel like. So
I feel like, I mean, I'm just going to say it's our generation
mm-hmm.
that really brought that entrepreneurial spirit.
But it is amazing to see, and I'm lucky enough to be friends with some of the folks who've opened businesses around
yeah.
here, and to see some of the stuff they do every day, their work on social media, the stuff they're doing behind the scenes to make them stand out. Looking in Boardman, what Brand Street Coffee's done, or
I know
Simple Greek next door, what
actually,
Ronnie and Sean have done there is
all
amazing.
The coffee makers, that's
oh
another
gosh.
Great group of people that have collaborated.
There's so much focus on the breweries, but the coffee shops around
oh,
here
yeah.
too, like Stone Fruit does some amazing stuff, and
100%
the work that they're doing with like Youngstown Clothing Company too.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's such a really cool, and that's been one of my favorite things because I've been lucky enough again to interview some of these people for stories too.
That's how I feel.
So, we have the same sort of, I mean, we get the same sort of vibe off of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Everybody seems like they're working together, and even a lot of these businesses, you would never ever think that they would be working together, and
they do.
I did a story a couple of years ago now with John down at Knucklehead Hop Farm in Latonia.
Oh, very
and
cool.
They were harvesting that day. I've done a couple stories there. But they were harvesting, and the guys from Birdfish were there. I was there. I think Adam was there from Modern Methods. And it was
yep.
just it was so neat to see. all of them kind of working together and talking about what they were going to make out of it, what they were going to do with it. Yep. And it was, so that's been one of my favorites, favorite parts about it. And I'd be remiss, by the way, if I did not mention Woodland Cellars in Hubbard,
too,
because
I know.
I'm a huge cider guy, and they had, I can't remember, it was like a berry cider or something, was like just knocked it out of the park.
I can't wait until they're on Logan Way.
Mm-hmm.
Like full on. I know that I believe like on occasion they'll
and
host
some,
an event.
Some special events there, yeah.
But I can't wait until it's...
Oh, talking to them when they first were in the process of acquiring that was...
That's exciting.
It was funny because I was like waiting so I could until I could report on it. And then the pandemic hit and I'm... They totally changed everything at our TV station. I don't physically leave the building anymore.
Wow.
So it, at least not for right now. So they tried to keep everybody...
Until 2022.
Oh, gosh. Better not be that long. I like interviewing people over Zoom, but man, it's sort of like an ends to a means, right?
I remember I am more of a face-to-face, and I'm okay with the 6 feet apart distance, obviously, but Zoom, I think because I'm forced to utilize it all the time, I despise Zoom. I think like, let's friends social happy hour at Zoom. Like the first time it was cool. The second time I was like, yeah, I'd rather just not see anyone. Like this is just depressing to me.
We have literally every single day we have a meeting on Zoom. And it's been crazy productive. Like we have great conversations. We have like the 40-minute time limit or whatever because we do the free version.
Yes.
But it's amazing what because before either I was out of the office or my co-anchor Krista was out of the office. And it was we would talk with our producer sort of in passing, but we never had at least not regularly that sit down powwow. And I feel like we've had some fantastic, well thought out segments and guests. It's almost like our content has gotten stronger because we've been able to devote this 40 minutes every single day.
Yeah.
So while in many ways Zoom is the bane of my existence because I'm a huge face-to-face person.
Yes.
I also, and I freely admit this to my bosses and everything, I'm not a schmoozer, but I like to talk to people.
Yep.
So when I go out on stories, I always have to allocate like an extra half an hour if that person's chatty like I am.
There you go.
Because I will finish up and I'll have everything, the camera packed away and everything, and then I'll just kind of BS with
hang
them
out
for a half. I do because I like talking to people. I like meeting different people. It's fun.
Well, that's
one of
good.
The best parts of my job.
That's right. It is a good part of our jobs to be able to get out there. Granted, I'm in a real estate sector. You're in the news.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. You just get to talk to people.
You get to meet people and you get to talk to people. You get to like help them out and doing whatever that they're trying to do, whether it's advocating for their business or I'm advocating for their position to acquire or sell real estate, whatever it may be. Like all those functions, it's just great to be out there. I am not a behind the desk person.
No, me neither.
I'm just not.
I'm happier when I'm out. And so it's been, I've had to find ways to get outdoors a little bit more over the last 6 months. So I'm not exactly looking forward to winter. Although our weather guy said it's supposed to be warmer than normal. So
is this Andrew?
No, this is Eric.
Okay.
The other day said something about how it was going to. It looks at least trending right now. It's not his official forecast yet, but
all right, because Andrew's going to be here next week, so
all
I'll drill him on it.
Do
and be like, hey, what's going on?
Steve said it's going to be warmer. He doesn't know anything. What do you say?
I know
that's the hot seat, right?
It is. I can't really bother him too much. I remember taking weather at YSU.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking it would be one of my cake classes, like, oh, I'll just take this, whatever, in the summer and get it done and over with 4 hours. And it was the hardest C I have ever worked for in my life. Like, I thought I understood everything when it came to the class. And then the test came and I'd be like, well, this isn't simple high pressure, low pressure. What is all this stuff populating on this test? And again, it was the hardest C I've ever worked for, but
I
passed.
When I was at OU, I used to tell people two of the classes that I took, and they laughed at me. So I took two different sections of history of baseball. yes, right? So it was the most, the first version. So it was like up until 1940 and then 1940 to present were the two sections. The first one was the most failed elective at Ohio University while I was there.
Oh, wow.
Because it was a history class. People saw it and they're like, oh, we're going to talk about baseball. This will be easy.
Yeah.
It was a history class. It was taught like a history class. There were blue book essay exams.
Oh, wow.
I got an A in both, but I was also a huge nerd. And
so you still enjoy baseball?
I do. Yeah. Especially the historic. And my two boys are getting into collecting cards a little bit now,
which I did
when I was a kid. And honestly, they literally.
Do you still have your cards?
I do. I gave them all to them. So,
okay.
And most of them aren't super valuable. There's a couple that are worth a decent amount of money, but it was fun. And then they're both really into basketball. And basketball cards were very rare at that point.
To say, I don't remember that.
It was all baseball cards.
Yep.
And to an extent, football cards. But so I don't have a ton of basketball cards that I handed down to them. I have some, but they are all in on it. And
that's pretty cool.
So they're, but I've always been a nerd about like sports history. My dad was older than a lot of dads that had kids my age, and he would tell me stories about Bob Feller for the Indians and everything when he was a kid. And it was, so I got hooked. I've read like every biography there is on those guys, or Jim Brown, or a lot of the historical baseball figures. So history of baseball was right up my alley. I loved it. Then even then there was the Latino movement into baseball, was a
when
huge
was
part
that
in the 70s mostly.
There you
so,
go.
But I mean a little bit before, a little after, but, and obviously, very, very popular now.
Yes.
So learning about that was even something that I had never studied before. So it was cool to see all that stuff and learning about the guys who played pre-1900, a guy named King Kelly, who I had never heard of before, who was like the star in the 1800s. So it was...
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Learning about the Black Sox scandal and everything. So I loved it, but it was hilarious. So first day of that class, I mean, we probably had like 150 kids in the class. Second day we had like 125, and third day we had like 75.
Oh wow!
It was just crazy. People would go, "Oh my god, this is gonna be hard. We have to read 3 books in 10 weeks and do all these essay exams." And
sounds about right.
It was so funny to see, but I loved it. I loved it. So
well, there you go.
It was cool. Even though I'm not a sports guy anymore, I'm still a huge.
You're
sports.
Still into it,
yeah.
Which is nice. Now it's recreational.
Totally.
Which is nice.
Well, but that's a good thing too for me because. It was almost clinical for me watching sports when I was into that because I would be off on a Saturday and I'd be watching a Buffalo Sabres game and watching like how the third line is back checking. It was just, but it's something that the casual fan would never watch.
The
casual fan's going to have some nachos and beer and
wait to
see who scores. I want to see if Zemgus Girgensons is going to be somebody who could score or if he was just going to be a role player.
So have you found your happy medium between the two?
Totally no.
Because I can't imagine being able to get rid of the clinical portion of it.
I feel like I have a slight area of expertise that I didn't before. But I've gone back to being a fan and it's kind of cool. I mean, to be honest, it was... the best example I can give, I grew up as a Cleveland Browns fan for better or worse, mostly worse. But the Bills played them a couple times while I was there. And it was like the weirdest thing to watch a Browns game and not have any emotional attachment in any way, because I had a 22-minute show that I had to plan out during this game. I had to tweet about the game. I had to make sure that I was figuring out what storylines I was going to highlight that night. It is such a different perspective when you look at it like that it made it extremely difficult for me to look at things from more of a fan perspective because while I was trying to get information out there that would appeal to fans.
Yes.
I was looking at it in a completely different way. And in some ways it was really neat to be able to open my eyes to now I fully understand why some college prospects can be a cornerback in the NFL versus a safety, for example. And it's mostly about their hips, strangely enough, and the way that they're able to change direction quickly. There's obviously a lot of other factors, but
I just love the fact that you're explaining this stuff to me in so much detail. I mean, you've mentioned names. Now you're talking about hip movements, everything. So I am your high level fan.
but that's just like how differently I look at
things.
I'm
the one who watches the games with people, but is talking with their friends the entire time.
There's nothing wrong with that. And then occasionally
watching and asking a question.
That's what I enjoy. It's one of the cool aspects of my sports background is I got a chance to watch everybody practice. So I saw some things that, and some of them weren't so good, to be honest. Yeah. It was funny especially when I was in Buffalo, people were like, oh my God, you get to meet all these players. I'm like, so what? I talk to them literally every day.
Yeah.
They are, in many cases, people that are my age. And now in this case, now younger than me. But like people, they have families. Like Kyle Williams, who used to play for the Bills, had kids that would run around on the field after games. And it was like the cutest thing
that
ever.
Is pretty cool.
I mean, you know, there were players that were actual prima donnas and it was crazy. And you could tell people who were not as well liked by some of their teammates. There were these guys who had these crazy, like people, fans had these misconceptions about them. And then you meet them in person and they're like the most down to earth people.
Oh, that's cool.
That was one of the cool parts, but it was never, I spoke at the Curbstone coaches or whatever a couple years ago talking about, you know, covering the Buffalo Bills and my experiences with that. And and people would ask, like, oh, were you ever starstruck? I'm like, literally never. Literally never. I just, it was not, because it was, first off, it was my job. Second, these are just people.
I know.
And for me, it was, okay, well, what are my storylines going to be this week? Am I going to talk to player A, B, and C?
I know, but Bradley Cooper walked in this door. While he is just a person, I definitely would be starstruck.
Well, and the funniest part is growing up as a Cleveland Browns fan, one of the only times that I was, and I wasn't even starstruck, it was just like one of those moments where in my head I'm like, kind of cool.
Yeah.
The current NFL players that I interviewed were just, you know, people that I interviewed for work. And some of them I liked and some of them I didn't like as much. And just like anybody else you meet. But I was riding, I remember it was the Bills-Browns game in Cleveland several years ago. And I was riding up the elevator to the press box and Kevin Mack, who was a running back when I was a kid for the Browns, was in the elevator with me. No big deal. And I was sitting there going, man, that's Kevin Mack. He's a lot smaller than I thought he'd be, and I'm not a small person. I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
But,
in Kevin Mack's defense.
Yes. But he was a bigger guy, bigger running back at the time. And you know, a lot of the NFL players slim down a little bit after they retire, but that was one of the cool parts. I'm like, okay, I'm riding in an elevator with Kevin Mack. It's kind of neat. I had like
Jim maybe King. The difference is that the other ones, again, like you said, you were around the same age. You guys were probably
totally
going through the same experiences, exactly, going to work. You have your families, everything like that. Yep. But when you're a kid watching these players,
oh, totally.
Then it is a little bit different, and why you probably were a little less starstruck versus like the Kevin Mack in the elevator.
Well, and my favorite one, I think, I was at Andre Reed used to play for the Bills during their Super Bowl years and everything. He went into the Hall of Fame several years ago.
Okay.
And I got to go to his Hall of Fame after party. And there were a lot of his teammates with those Bills teams, which was cool. But at that point, I had already talked to most of those guys.
Yeah.
So, but I was at the bar. Just like anybody else would at a big party.
And oh, yeah.
So they had several of them. I grab a beer and I turn around and the guy behind me in line was Dan Marino. And that was one moment where I'm like, oh, hey. And then I just kind of walked away. I'm like, man, that's the weirdest thing that I wasn't hanging out with him or anything. But I turn around and Dan Marino's right there. So.
Did you know Dan Marino was the sponsor to Zidian's pasta?
What?
Yes, this was back in the 90s.
Okay.
So so my cousin married a Zidian.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is over by Aqua Plaza, just to give people approximation of where I'm talking about. So they make pasta as well. And Dan Marino was their sponsor at one point. And my cousin, because I at the time, my uncle, everybody else was pretty much a Browns fan in my entire family, except for my uncle was a Dolphins fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I attribute that to when he was younger was during the time where they had their winning season.
Yep.
No losses, in which they're still the only ones. Yep. But anyway, so I then was a Dolphins fan and still am a Dolphins fan and a Browns fan. So they hooked me up with the autographed Dan Marino football card, and I was just absolutely elated. And they all got to meet him.
Nice.
Everything. Now, see, Dan Marino would also be one of those.
Bucket list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was, he seems to be a very nice guy as well. But yeah, he was a sponsor for one of our local pastas here.
Small world. I did know. Not know that. That's pretty cool. A cool little like bit of trivia right there.
That's pretty cool. But well, thank you for coming to my home and drinking some hops.
I'm glad to do it.
And finding a hop that you liked.
Yes.
There you go. Cheers.
I already drank mine, so I can't even drink anymore. Here, I'll see if there's a sip.
That was fast. I'm still drinking mine. And I hope that you'll come on again soon.
Yeah, I'll be glad to do it.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you much.